Just a tiny little. The most solid chronological indication in the whole life of Paul is this consulship of Gallio in Corinth. The consul lasted a year, from spring to spring. Gallio was either the cousin or the brother of Seneca, I've forgotten now. But we know exactly when he was appointed and when he left. And so that helped. I was busy this morning, so I didn't get a chance. But my memory is it's 52. And so that's very helpful when we're trying to locate Paul and his movements and so forth. Also because later on, when Paul, always strikes me, when Paul is telling everybody, pray for the king, and pray. Well, from 54 to 58, the king was Nero. And so they're praying for a persecutor. Okay. Now, what about us? As you can tell, we're getting close to the end. To Pentecost. Could you close the door? The kids there? Be a little easier, I think. The Lord promises, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. Now that's a promise from God himself, from the living Son of God. You will grieve, but your grief will become joy. And then he gives this example. The interesting thing about the example, of course, is that in the book of Genesis, a woman's pain in giving birth, what happened? Is a result of sin. Just as the man's pain is the same word in Hebrew, in bringing forth fruit from the earth, and see, not normal. So our Lord, with that mind, sees. And he takes this example. You see, he's saying, you know, you're going to suffer, and it's going to be due to sin. Yours or somebody else's. But don't you worry. I will see you again, not only when he comes back to end the world, but in our life and in our own personal life. I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take that joy away from you. Now, we see that in the lives of the saints, don't we? I mean, they're way down with a lot of suffering, and yet there's joy. Great joy. I've told you this story before, but it always struck me. A friend, Marius McAuliffe, he's dead now, he's an Irish Franciscan. He was a mystic and had his doctorate in mysticism, so he was sort of, that's his field. And there was a woman down in Virginia years ago who had a reputation for being very enlightened and very holy, and she was in a wheelchair, that's all I remember now. And they wanted to know what Marius thought of her. So they brought him down and they spent half hour, 40 minutes talking. And then Marius came out of the room and they said, well, what do you think? He said, it's genuine. Such joy can only come from the Holy Spirit. That's a good criterion. You see? And so then our Lord goes on to promise, whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he will give you. This is a very intimate text. You can hear the Lord, you know, knowing that they're suffering and promising, look, it's not forever. Today we celebrate those boys. Charles Lwanga was the oldest of them. He was a big fella. Still a youth, but I mean, maybe 19, 20. In the middle of Uganda, right now, there is this huge shrine to which thousands and thousands and thousands of people go. The king, nobody can remember his name. But those who gave their lives, they're there in honor, even in this life. So our Lord is telling us, don't be surprised if things are difficult. And don't be surprised if the difficulties are caused from the outside. Don't be surprised. But I'm telling you, our Lord says, and I am the Son of God, you see, I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice. Whatever we suffer builds the world. What a privilege. What a privilege. Lots of people out there, you know, oh, they're in a lousy marriage, they're in a lousy job, they're alcoholics, they're addicted to pornography. That's the suffering of hell. That's the demons making those people suffer. And they can get out of it if they'll turn to the Lord. But somebody has to tell him about that. You see? What we suffer is precious. And it's precious to the Lord.